Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. So what exactly is this Pentecost? Literally, it means the 50th in Greek. Now, in the Old Testament, there's two stories about Pentecost, and one of them is about a harvest festival. But for Christians, it's a day to speak of the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's a day for us to share this good news. Today, we find the disciples locked away in an upper room once again. Remember that after Jesus' death, these same disciples went and hid up in that upper room, locked away from the world? Now, 10 days after Christ's ascension into heaven, this same group of guys are back in this upper room, and they're waiting. They're waiting for the power from on high to come upon them. So they wait. And today is the day that the Spirit came, appearing like tongues of fire as the Spirit came upon each person. And this motley, ragtag crew of disciples are transformed by this Spirit in a very public and in a very disruptive way. They are right now in a city that is known for its diversity and its languages. And for the first time, each person in that city could hear the good news in their own language. They shine as the Spirit has awakened them. This time, God is creating unity amongst their diversity with language, unlike in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel, because there God created division among people by confusing their languages. And here on Pentecost, God enabled the disciples to speak various languages so each and every person could hear that one message that was there for them. No, the Spirit shines on them, and it moves the people outside. Back on Palm Sunday, I asked you, where have you seen God lately in your life? Because God breaks into our lives in countless of ways, whether we expect it or don't. The Holy Spirit came through to the disciples on this day, came to them like the Spirit comes to us today. And this has me thinking, have you ever traveled to a foreign land where nobody speaks English? Or I think about my favorite Chinese restaurant that Steve and I go to, where I swear they don't know English until somebody says hello. And there's such a comfort when you hear somebody else respond to your language. You find yourself looking for that person to think, oh, I'm more comfortable. I do fit in here. And I notice that we tend to pay a little bit more attention if you hear your own language. On this day of Pentecost, all of those people outside of this upper room, they felt drawn in with wonder. Now, there are some that criticize the disciples, and if you read the Acts story further, you hear that they said, well, they're just drunk. But there were others who welcomed the message that they were hearing, and they joined this community as if to say, shine, Spirit, shine, shine in us. We know that these disciples were transformed on this day into powerful people who grabbed attention. They grabbed the attention of these diverse communities. The Spirit not only transformed their lives, but it ignited the conviction of these communities of faith, and it changed the direction of all of their lives. And it affected the disciples and this community. But think about, there was no impact that wasn't left anywhere. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives in spectacular and in profane ways. Think for a moment, when has God worked in your life in a spectacular fashion? And where has God come into your life in the most profane way? And by profane, I mean in the normal, in the everyday. At the beginning of his letters, Paul always gives us a little tip of what the theme is going to be in that particular letter. In Corinthians, Paul is not talking about individual faith, but he's talking about a communal experience. That's the type of spirituality he's talking about. And he begins 1 Corinthians by telling us, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we didn't get the point yet, in chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And Paul from there goes on to talk about these gifts, these spiritual gifts, and how this faith community is one body. And it's almost as if to say to the people, shine, Spirit, shine. It's shining in us. Then in verse 4, Paul informs these people of Corinth that faith in Christ is essential. It's essential for the community. The Spirit comes to the disciples in the Acts story. It's deeply personal and it's transformational for everybody involved. But wouldn't a better comparison be to that experience, be to the Tower of Babel that was actually a failure because the people got divided amongst themselves? But Pentecost, God comes and creates unity by giving them spiritual gifts that are useless by ourselves, but as the church together, that's where we do ministry. That's where we're strong. And again, Paul reminds us what was taught to them from the very, very beginning. Rank and status, that means nothing. And it doesn't really matter if this person or that person is preaching or if that person is your leader or baptized you. None of that matters. And it also seems evident from the reading that he's saying that people are thinking that some gifts are more valuable to God than others, such as wise counsel, clear understanding, and simple trust. But other talents, those like, oh, interpretation, speaking of tongues, or proclamation, well, those are just useless gifts. Yet the various gifts from God are given out of everywhere as they're all activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses, so that no one gift is better than another, just as no one person is better than another. And don't we do that exact same thing? When we sit there and compare ourselves to somebody else, looking for their flaws to make ourselves feel a little bit better, to boost our own self-image, so often we speak of the Spirit, our thoughts turn to a spirituality that's inward moving. It's about my thoughts. What works best for me? This whole motivation is self-centered, but faith is actually an outward movement. And that is where the Spirit is. It's communal. But the Spirit does bring us into relationships to look for the common good. The Spirit empowers us for service. Consider your own body, the limbs and the tissues and the organs. Each part of your body has a specific job, but we rarely consider their functions. Look at your hand for a moment. How often do we think about these fingers and these thumbs? Have you ever tried to pick something up without using your thumb? How about if you're cold, wearing your gloves, trying to type or text? It's nearly impossible to do. In these activities, the rest of our body, it's not engaged. It doesn't care what happens. But if you slam the car door on your hand, suddenly your brain starts sending messages. It sends it to your feet to start moving. It sends it to your eyes to start watering. It sends it to your mouth to open in shock. And it sends it to your other hand to reach out and open up the door. When the body's in trouble, the rest of the body seems to respond. And there is a problem happening in Corinth. Somehow these poor Corinthians have forgotten what it means to be a community of faith. They're looking out only for themselves, only for me, and the good news of Jesus Christ is no longer shared. What happened to the use of spiritual goods for the common good? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? Each one of us is part of this faith community, and each one of us has a role. We have individual gifts, we have individual positions. And yes, sometimes we disagree with each other and sometimes we don't get along so well. But still, the Spirit is able to shine, Spirit, shine in our lives. But when we do share our lives, we appreciate those gifts of others and we work for the common good. This is the unity that Paul is talking about today. This unity is also found in the saving power of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So shine, Spirit, shine.